You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
And I'm Brad Jackson.
So what are we smoking this week, Brad?
Oh, you know, I'm not even going to begin. I got the La Historia, everything else by...
La Historia by Perez Carrillo.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, it's a 95 rated cigar. It's all you need to know. But we're actually smoking the Toro, which is a 6.7 by 54. So this is a long, skinny bastard.
But Mexican San Andreas wrapper, Ecuadorian Sumatra binder, and Nicaraguan filler. Made in the Dominican Republic.
I gotta say, I've had, this is probably my second or third time having the cigar. And each time I'm reminded what a delightful cigar this is. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
I'm liking
complex.
That. Like, lately I've smoked a lot of like Mexican San Andreas. That seems to be the new popular wrapper going around. And I gotta say, I like this type of Maduro.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, there's a balance about the cigar. There's not just one note that stands out when you smoke it. I mean, it's you definitely feel a little bit of the spice from the, you know, I would put this, you know, somewhere, you know, about halfway between medium to medium full. But you know, the flavor profile here is, you know, some roasted nuts, espresso, black pepper, with just a touch of sweetness. And I don't know. I mean, something about the aroma, the flavor, I just dig it. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it's definitely got like just a, you know, peppery, leathery taste to it, but not really overpowering. It's definitely well balanced.
Yeah, I mean, it's smooth. It's easy to relax to. You know, it doesn't feel like a burden. Like, this isn't a, you know, cigar that I've got to, you know, just win for the sake of, you know, not being defeated because it's such a strong, overpowering smoke.
Yeah, this is definitely a good, relaxing Maduro. So, this week, we're going to be talking about Star Wars. And don't worry, but before we get into, like, spoiler territory, we'll definitely... You know, key you in of when, if you haven't seen the movie, you should probably, like, back out.
No, like, at this point, I don't think you consider yourself a geek or a nerd if you haven't seen the film yet. Like,
there's still a few people out there that's been busy or whatnot.
You know what I say? Excuses.
So, yeah, we'll probably start off talking about the original films. So, once we get into our review of The Force Awakens.
And your undying love for the one Jar Jar.
But also another thing that's kind of cool, this week we got our yearly stats email. This is showing you know where we get our most listeners, and apparently we get a lot of hits out of Brazil, so shout out to our Brazilian listeners. Like your jiu-jitsu and your Brazilian tobacco.
And not to mention the fine Brazilian women.
And also got a comment from a Australian listener. So looks like we were getting internationally known. So if you're listening to this and you're not, you know, in America, go by our Facebook page, leave us a comment or shoot us an email. You know, let us know where you're listening from. We'd like to, you know, see how far the legend of the Cigar Nerds has spread.
To those three people, and that's it.
The two guys in Brazil and the one guy in Australia. That's as far as it's gone.
We could say we've achieved international fame.
Yep. International Men's of Mystery. All right. And with that, we'll be right back.
Stay tuned.
And welcome back to the podcast. Welcoming back to the Nerd Cave, we have Norm, our other Star Wars commentator for this evening.
Hey, how's it going today?
Yeah, tonight, I had to get somebody in here that was an expert.
May the Force be with you.
And also with you.
I get no Force. Fuck you both.
May the Schwartz be with you. Oh, and that's a different show.
But still, a cult following nonetheless.
Oh, I mean, that's one of the things that they've, like, Mel Brooks has said now that, like, he's going to do a second Spaceballs movie. Since Star Wars is blowing up, he's ready to do another one.
I was going
to
say exactly that, and that would be great.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed Spaceballs, so yes.
All right, let's get started. Like I said, you don't have to turn off the podcast yet because we're going to kind of hold our review of The Force Awakens till later and start off talking about the original movies, all three of them. Some people say there's six, but...
There's only three.
There's five.
Yeah, now.
We skip episode one.
Yeah.
We have five.
I don't know. I could kind of do away with two and three as well. Like,
I don't know.
Two and three have their place.
If we start with the...
After four.
You know. All right. Since we're already in it, let's fucking open the gate and talk about the prequels right off the bat and get that. They're not entirely bad. I mean, I enjoyed them the first time I watched them, but I was starved for live-action Star Wars at that point. So, but what I say about this is, like, the original Star Wars, 1977... Lucas was a young man, and he, you know, was a hungry director. But when the second ones came out, he was older. He was a family man. So episode one was a freaking kids movie. I mean, he made something that his kids would have wanted to watch. And that's probably the biggest complaint of the,
well,
you know,
I mean, I guess first prequel. To, you know, his defense and some of the more recent commentary and stuff is, you know, with the prequels, really he was aiming for the whole character development aspect of things and, you know, was going more so that direction more than what Star Wars fans really wanted out of, you know, episodes 4, 5, and 6, where it's action-packed, you know. And, yeah. You know, there's still a little bit of a storyline and a progression there. But, you know, by and large, you're right. You know, he wanted to make it more...
I just think it's an estate to give us a 9-year-old Darth Vader.
Yeah, but even action-packed, Empire Strikes Back isn't the most action-packed movie.
Oh, hell no, dude. I fell asleep to that thing like five times.
It's big on story development.
Well, that's
because you were high on medication. It tells you where we're going with the story, but action is very beginning, kind of the very end, and that's about it.
I mean, the good of the prequel. I mean, Liam Neeson as Qui-Gon Jinn was a badass. It was the first time we saw a fully trained Jedi and Jedi Master wielding lightsabers like they should have been wielded. I mean, we always see, you know, Luke, who was a novice, and Vader, who was, like, on life support, you know, very slow fighting. And then we see Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon just jacking up droids, like, right off the bat. And I'm like, that was probably the most badass, like, we had ever seen Jedi being. You know, like, so we'd read comics, read books, but we never had been able to see a full-fledged Jedi kicking ass before.
All right, so I'll give you that. I mean, hey, like you said, you know, there's a place, just not my favorite place.
And we got Darth Maul, you know, exactly. Albeit briefly.
Darth Maul, the only person to kill Liam Neeson in a movie.
Damn.
I mean, Liam Neeson's trained, there's a Jedi Master and trained Batman. I mean, you don't normally see Liam Neeson getting killed in a movie.
I am Jedi Bat.
Oh, Bat Jedi.
God, you know there's going to be a horrible fan film now. You are all to blame.
That's one thing about the prequels, though. It the space battles and the Jedi stuff was awesome, but it just looked far too CGI.
I mean, that's my biggest
complaint. The whole movie could have been shot in front of a green screen. It was just like an overuse of CGI compared to the originals.
Which, you know, I will say for the time frame, like, there were a lot of movies coming out then, and that was the groundbreaking thing, was to CGI the hell out of every movie, and it didn't feel, like I said, like you said, you know, it
did not feel like the original trilogy. No. The original trilogy looked, the world looked lived in. I mean, things were dirty and breaking down. But in the prequels, everything was like super freaking clean and super, even though it was supposed to have taken place 30, 40 years before, everything looked like way more advanced and brand new.
Yes.
especially the Naboo ship with like the giant chrome spaceship.
Oh, the Pimpmobile.
Oh yeah. They just need some spinners on that thing. It'd have been all good.
I guarantee you there are probably some double deuces.
And not to sidetrack or anything, but why is it that nothing has wheels in Star Wars? Everything floats.
Yeah.
But only like small droids actually still use wheels.
Yeah, why does R2 even need wheels?
Well, he doesn't. Floats. He can fly, but yeah. Still.
I don't know. Speaking of flying, like, I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent, and that's going to tie into Star Wars a little bit, but this fucking bullshit with these hoverboards, they got two wheels. They don't hover. Stop calling them fucking hoverboards.
But the highlight videos on YouTube of people didn't get what crashing those Christmas. Things are amazing.
That's not that at all.
Another highlight of episode one was Ewan McGregor is Obi-Wan. I mean, he's probably the, you know, as they're doing these, what do they call them, the standoff, the standalone Star Wars films that are not part of the trilogy, that are kind of taking place in different time frames, the anthology series. I would love to see an Obi-Wan movie on his own. Yeah, I'd love to see Ewan McGregor come back and as, you know, Obi-Wan, because that's probably, of those three movies, that's probably the highlight, is his portrayal of Obi-Wan is probably the one of the best versions of Obi in his prime.
Obi-Wan right after, what's that? I can't think of the name of the movie. Right after episode 3.
Yeah.
That gap between episode 3 and episode 4. At least there's a ton of space there
for Obi-Wan. 18 years of him hanging out in the desert, yeah.
And he didn't just go to the desert, so what did he do?
Yeah,
between then.
There's got to be some Obi-Wan solo missions. Or even, like, you know, some stuff, like, you know, adventures in the, you know, his training as a, or like, you know, Clone Wars missions we haven't heard of.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm with you. I'd like to see, you know, a little bit more of a backfill and learn a little bit more about what was happening with Obi-Wan.
The only other version of Obi-Wan that, other than Ewan McGregor's, is the Clone Wars cartoon series.
Like, which, if people haven't seen that, I gotta highly recommend that.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. It's a great series.
That's probably one of the better portrayals of Star Wars, and, you know, it's his version of Obi-Wan in the animated series, but also, I much prefer the animated series version of Anakin than I do the way he was portrayed in the original or the prequels. I mean, in the cartoon series, he's more angry. You could see this guy turning into Vader because he had, like, you know, he was a good dude, but he had some, like, you know, anger issues and stuff and was tempted by the dark side. But when you watch episode 2 and 3, he's kind of emo. He's just like a whiny little bitch.
There's no kind to it. He's
emotionally stilted. It's like something just isn't working right in his head.
Fucking, Obi-Wan's being mean to me. Yoda won't promote me. I should be a master by now. But, like, you know, in the Clone Wars, he's, you know, a lot more just, you know, loses his temper occasionally. Like, you know, like, I could see that guy becoming the badass that was Darth Vader. But, you know, Hayden Christensen's version of, just kind of, I can see him becoming, you know, spoiler, Kylo Ren, we'll talk about later. Like, he's just kind of a whiny bitch.
No spoilers yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Spoilers. Spoilers everywhere.
Oh. But, I mean, so what do we think about episode 2? The Clone Wars.
Attack of the Clones.
Oh, yeah, no, Attack of the Clones. Yeah, the third one's Clone Wars. I gotta say, it was, some people don't like it because they're like, there's so much political intrigue. It was like, you know, we spent way too much time in the Senate debating shit. It was like watching some kind of political thriller.
Well, yeah, but it's
up until like the, you know, toward the end.
But it's also like Empire was a lot of backfill story, yeah. A lot of slow progression to get you to where you need to be at the end. All of that political, quote unquote, political intrigue that they went through got them to the clones.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't necessarily care to see all the political bullshit, though. Like,
yeah. I mean, they could have definitely shortened that part of it down.
You know, give you 10, 15 minutes. Here's the gist, the cliff notes. Like, if you really want to dive into that shit, turn it into a book. Like, I mean, write the Star Wars Book of Congress or something. Like,
but I mean, toward the end of it, when we do, you know, finally, we'll highlight, you get to see, they introduce the character of Jango Fett, you know, Fett's daddy, and the clones.
Well, that's also them introducing Mandalorians, period, really. Yeah.
That's really the first time we've seen Mandalorians.
In the original series, it was pretty much just Boba Fett.
Yep.
There was no real story that there is a whole group of people that are Mandalorians that...
And they go into it deeper in the now-defunct Expanded Universe, but it wasn't just Jango there. There was like a whole cadre of Mandalorians that were training the clones. And, you know, there's like training sergeants.
I think that part is still considered canon.
I don't know. I think it's like if it's cartoons, movies, and comic books are not, and not, maybe games, but... Anything like book wise has kind of been deleted and started. So I don't know how much of that the Clone Commando series is considered canon anymore. But yeah, the like Cal Skarada in the Expanding Unit is probably one of my favorite characters because he was such a bad. He hated Fett. He thought Fett was like a freaking asshole, and he was the one who trained all the Clone Commandos and end up adopting a bunch of them as his sons. And when the whole Order 66 came out, he left and took a bunch of the clones with him and like made them part of his family. He was such a badass Mandalorian. He didn't even wear a helmet. Most of the time he just wore like a leather jacket over his armor and smoked cigars too. So
perfect. Perfect then.
He was like this grumpy badass old man.
That's what I strive for in life. I've got my cigars and my leather jacket and I'm already bald. Shit, I'm already there.
And this is probably the first time in episode 2 that we've seen an actual Star War, really. I mean, we've seen a lot of space battles and stuff and stormtroopers on ships or whatnot, but this is the first time we've seen massive ground battles in the Star Wars universe.
True. Most of them are either real small skirmishes or it's ships shooting each other in space, but not any really ground combat.
I mean, we had tanks and shit. And of the three movies, Padme. This is probably the hottest version of Padme too. Where she's probably the most Leia-like in this movie. Like you could definitely see that character being Princess Leia's mother
by design. You think?
Yeah. I mean, she's even wearing like the white outfit and stuff. I mean, her even, you know, her costume choices are definitely, you know, were influenced by the, you know, original, you know,
well,
Star Wars
better
designs.
Than the makeup and the crown from the from episode 1.
Yeah, that shit was weird.
And the fake that was in place. And
yes.
Yeah, episode 1's a mess.
There's some weird
skip
shit
it,
on the
skip it if you haven't seen it. You can just skip it. It's okay.
I've heard. Was it the machete version?
Exactly.
Is watch episode 1. No. Then go back and watch, or no, episode 1. Episode 4.
Skip episode 1. Start at 4.
4. Go back
five.
And watch.
No, start,
no
four,
go back
five.
And watch 2 and 3 as a flashback.
4 and 5. Then jump back to 2 and 3 as a flashback, and then you get to watch 6.
Yeah, because by that time.
I'm a fan of that order.
Yeah, because by the time at the end of Empire, you know Vader is Luke's father. Then you go back and watch the.
Luke's
father. Yeah, Luke's father stuff, and then you come back to Empire. Yeah, that's probably the best way to watch this. Like, if, like, you know, Brad didn't watch Star Wars until way later, and he's like, if I didn't start with the original trilogy and then go back and watch the prequels, I would not have made it if I had started on the prequels first.
Yeah, one of my friends, she just, you know, got around to seeing Star Wars last week before seeing the new film. And, you know, her boyfriend's like, you're going to watch 4, 5, and 6, and you're going to pretend 1, 2, and 3 never happened, never existed. In fact, you are forbidden to ever reference or see those films.
And, yeah, Jar Jar Binks.
Hey, 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 now. Jar Jar Binks changed the world.
People's gonna die?
You may not like the world he changed, but he changed the world.
I mean, Star Wars does not need, like, silly comic relief.
Hey, if it wasn't for Jar Jar Binks, we wouldn't have an emperor.
Yeah, true.
What?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. They said he got the everybody elected in the clone. It's like, Jar Jar was really a Sith Lord.
Exactly.
I don't know. I think it's just really funny that pretty much if you type in, like, top 20 most hated anything of all time, like, Jar Jar pretty much makes every one of those lists.
Well, when you look at the original trilogy, there's a lot of comedic elements, but it's little stuff. It's like, you know, Han making wisecracks or him and Luke getting into shit. You know, freaking Jar Jar was just straight up silly. Like I said, episode 1 is a kid's movie. 2 and 3... you don't see as much. There's Jar Jar still there, but, you know, he's more subdued. But episode 1, he's just straight up freaking slapstick comedy.
Yeah, I couldn't get behind that at all.
And like I said, episode 3, not of the trilogy, other than
of the prequel, you know, that's probably the one that I can tolerate the most.
Yeah, other than more of whiny Anakin. You get some badass space battles, and then that final sword fight, lightsaber fight with Obi-Wan, that is, I think, has the record for longest sword fight in cinematic history, is probably the most badass thing.
Yes.
And, I mean, and Obi-Wan is just, like, full-on drop-the-mic gangster, cuts his legs and his arms off, and leaves them to burn. Doesn't even finish them off, just leaves them on the side of a river to burn. It's like, don't even, like, finish him off. He's like, yeah, fuck you. I mean, it's like the most gangster moment that of Obi-Wan's career.
Yeah, it's probably Obi-Wan's most un-Jedi moment.
Yeah, like, don't even try to save him. Don't even at least, like, put him out of his misery. He's like, nope, taking your lightsaber, and I'm going to let you burn.
Yeah. Who does that? Apparently Obi-Wan does.
That guy.
Which I do, like, I've seen some of the memes floating around where it's like, it's that scene from A New Hope where Obi-Wan is giving Luke his father's lightsaber. He's like, yes, this is your father's lightsaber. He told me to give it to you when I cut off his arms and left him to burn.
Oh, have you seen the one where R2-D2's standing there and Obi-Wan says, I don't recall ever having a droid. And Obi-Wan's like, what? I saved your life like 3 times. We went fought in the Clone Wars together. You don't know me now? Fuck you. All in whistles and beeps.
Oh, that's why R2 is like has the dirtiest language of, like, if you spoke droid, like, you know, R2 is like constantly, like, just cussing about stuff. Cause you see, C-3PO is like, how rude. And it's always like yelling at him for saying something.
He's got the language of a soldier. He's got a soldier thing because he is. No one ever realizes that. Nobody's ever erased his memory from the very beginning of these movies.
Like, R2 is the only person that really knows what's going on.
Is R2-D2.
And R2 is probably the most badass of, like, the original trilogy. I liked R2's origins, you know, and, you know, his progression through the original trilogy, or the, you know, prequel trilogy.
So can we get a Star Wars told from the perception of R2?
I think we just do a mini movie that's just R2.
R2's like, freaking idiots.
R2-D2 Chronicles.
And, you know, just have him whistle and beep, but just run subtitles the entire way through the movie.
Oh, yeah, that I would love to see R2-D2's audio commentary on.
Oh, that would have been an awesome extra. Like, you know how they always have, you know, the commentaries and stuff like that from the directors or a couple of the big actors, but, like, can somebody do a dub version, like, R2, like, just doing badass commentary? Like, no, that's not at all how this shit played out. Like, they tried to rewrite history.
Like, I knew your daddy when he was a slave.
Damn.
And now now look at you. You turn into an old hermit just like that old man did. Oh, did I spoil her?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so out of the original or prequel 1, 2, 3 trilogy, do y'all have a favorite moment, favorite character, anything that to try to highlight other than the negativity of what we usually discuss when we talk about those original films?
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, I'm with you. Like, Obi-Wan for me was, you know, the highlight, I think. You know, just really seeing him come into his element and, you know, he had some badass moments. Like
that, and also I think the highlights for me was seeing the actual Jedi Council. Because we up until this point, we've only seen Yoda as like this swamp creature on Dagobah that, you know, talks in riddles and, you know, and trains Luke. But seeing him as the Grand Master of the Jedi, and, you know, you're like, how's this little dude, like, freaking Kermit, great-grandfather, the head of the Jedi Order, and then, like, in episode, you know, 2, he see him while they call him the Master.
Yeah, where he's up there leading the stormtroopers in the battle.
Yes, I mean, Yoda is, ships. Like, a badass.
Yeah, or in episode 3, where he's,
yeah, where he's going fighting head the to Emperor. Head
with the Emperor.
He's like, you know, I walk around with a cane and stuff because I don't rely on the Force. But when it's time to do shit, he's like, when he opens himself up with the Force, he's like, drop my cane, pull out the lightsaber, and, you know, bad shit happens.
Yep, absolutely.
What about you, Norm? Any highlights?
Yeah, for myself, probably I really like Count Dooku from Episode 2.
Yeah, Dooku was an interesting bad guy.
He's a smooth. Interesting bad guy, not your normal, what you would get out of, you know, the evil Sith. And he's a big, huge change from Darth Maul in episode 1.
Yeah, he was just basically,
two opposite sides of assassin. The dark side of the Force.
Yeah, you could see Dooku more of, like, an emperor. That was another thing, too, of
like those, the like, master manipulator behind the scenes.
You really see how the emperor kind of just played everyone. I mean, he created the bad guys so he could get the power and build his army. So without like creating, because at that time, you know, they were kind of at peace, like having some trade disagreements, but then he built that whole civil war just so he could take power and make himself the hero and eventually take over the galaxy and screw over the Jedi. Because, you know, as you know, Jedis can kind of see the future, sense danger. What better way to kill them to have them, their friends, stab them in the back?
Hurt their friends who don't even know they're going to stab them in the back until...
Yeah, because as we've seen
they hear the magic
in
words.
The, you know, Clone Wars series, that was something like pre-programmed in. They really could not resist except for a few that had, you know, removed their programming. But so, yeah, so the Jedi had, you know, they couldn't sense being plotted against. It's basically like, you know, flipped a switch and... You know, all the Jedi got wiped out. That's like, you know, about the only way to logically kill off all the Jedi.
All at once.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't let them getting word out.
I mean, you see how brilliant the Emperor actually is, you know, because up until that point, we've only seen him as this decrepit old man nearly.
Yeah, but you imagine that. All you want to take out your enemy, and there are a lot of them, and there's only one of you. Let's surround them with the people you're going to use to kill them. They don't even know that they're going to do it yet until you give them the trigger word.
As we've learned from like the Godfather and Mafia movies, you know, the person that comes to kill you is not your enemy, it's your friend. That's the way they do it. You know? Take the gun, leave the cannolis.
Exactly.
That's pretty how that went down. All right, so now that we've gotten the...
I think we're just through the first three movies.
The bad out of the way. Let's talk about like the impact of the original trilogy. I mean, we started in 1977 through 83. And is anything else pop culture-wise had as big an impact as Star Wars?
I don't know. The only thing I can think of that would potentially come close, you know, would be Star Trek. I mean,
the other Star movie.
Yeah. But I mean, nothing. I will say that, you know, both sides of each fandom, and I'm not going to start a Trek versus Star Wars debate.
Hey, I like both of them.
But both have very, very strong followings.
Yeah, they're different enough that, you know, there's something for everyone. But I mean, Star Wars has just gone on and on. I mean, hell, even like,
you definitely don't see the merchandising and all of that stuff that, you know, with Star Trek that you do with Star Wars.
Oh no, not even close.
I mean, Star Wars has even infiltrated like all of people make Star Wars references in hell 90% of the movies you see out there. It's even gotten to like the political realm. I mean, remember Ronald Reagan's like missile defense program was called Star Wars.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton ended one of her presidential debates as, you know, "May the force be with you." Like, you know, I mean,
yeah. It's,
did she really?
Yes.
I mean, there's certain places that Jediism is considered an actual religion.
Yeah.
I mean, I forgot what country it was.
In Europe.
There was a political party.
An actual religion. Like, on the list of demographic religion, Jedi is Catholic, Protestant,
and I can't even remember what country Muslim, it is.
Jedi.
But there is actually a Jedi political party. Someone legally running as Darth Vader for president. Like, went to the debates and everything dressed as Darth Vader. There's a hilarious video where
I'd love to see
one of his supporters, who is dressed as Chewbacca, gets arrested for campaigning too close to a polling location. So you see all these cops like arresting Chewbacca campaigning for Darth Vader for president. It's freaking mind blowing the impact these three. I mean, even like, say, more recently, Harry Potter, as big as that blown up, it's been several years since we've had a Harry Potter thing in theaters. You still see a little bit of Harry Potter stuff, but not to the point of like Star Wars has been going strong for 40 years now, or 30, 40 years. And not just the movie, the original three movies. I mean,
well, you've got
books,
games,
comic
you got
books, games, games, yeah, cartoons,
everything. If you can think of it, there's a Star Wars product for it.
Yeah, I mean, hell, there's Star Wars sex toys. I mean, it's literally
if you went there.
I mean, you go to the grocery store, there's Star Wars soup. Even there's a bag of oranges with Star Wars stuff on it. Oh, I mean, it's
especially
like
in this go
merchandised
around,
with this
new episode.
Yeah, especially
it's everywhere
since the Disney takeover. I mean, the merchandising was probably like the biggest moneymaker of it all. But now that Disney, like the other mega, you know, merchandising with Marvel, the traditional Disney stuff, I mean, it's just gone like bananas.
Yeah, I remember reading something somewhere that when Episode 1 came out, the first of the prequels, they didn't even need it to actually make any money in the box office because they were going to make all of their money back on merchandising.
I mean, how many people bought Jar Jar things before they realized Jar Jar sucked? Because there was toys out before the movie came out.
He was the brand new character that everybody was going to love.
That's like the movie Fanboys, which is about these guys trying to see Episode 1 before it comes out because their friend is dying of cancer and won't make it until the movie premieres. And I said, "Is of all the movies influenced by Star Wars, it's probably one of my favorite next to Spaceballs because it was like kind of an independent film, and Lucas saw it and was like, all right, I'm going to give you the rights to use all these official sound effects and all this. And it's got Ray Park, Billy Dee Williams, Princess Leia, like all these people made appearances in it.
Yeah.
And there's one part, it's Seth Rogen plays a pimp, and when they go to Vegas, and he's got like one arm is the light side of the Force, it's all like Luke and everything, and the other side, his arm is all like the dark side. And he's like, yeah, check out my latest tattoo. He pulls up his shirt, and he has this giant picture, like his full back is Jar Jar and little Anakin. And this is like, so the movie like already came out. He's like, yeah, man, this Jar Jar guy's probably going to be a badass. It's like the greatest joke of the movie.
Oh, it's horrible.
Oh, but it's so funny.
Oh, it's absolutely hilarious, but it's still horrible. Can we modify Jar Jar to kind of look like Yoda? Like, you know, like,
it's too late.
Yeah, because it was like huge too, and like he's got his arms crossed, like giving gang signs. It's messed up. So, you know, now that we're into the good trilogy, And also, you know, don't even try to compare Lord of the Rings. No, there's one trilogy, freaking Star Wars.
I don't know. You know, speaking of Lord of the Rings and, you know, kind of that debate, like, you know, one of my favorites is, you know, the Clerks 2 scene where they're in movies and, you know, they're basically doing, you know, the debate between the Star Wars trilogy and, you know, the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And I think that's probably one of my favorite all-time jokes.
They're just walking for three movies. Oh, I mean, hell, Kevin Smith has made like half his career making Star Wars references.
I mean, and he pretty much had an entire movie.
Yes. I mean, Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back.
Exactly. So, yeah, I don't know, man. You know, starting with episode 4, I mean, that... just a badass casting, you know. Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher. I mean, like, when I think of Star Wars, those are the names and those are the, you know, actors and actresses that... Well,
don't forget Peter Mayhew, Anthony Daniels, Kenny Baker. That's Chewbacca, C-3PO, R2-D2. Yeah,
this is the thing about the original trilogy. Those are
actually people in those suits. Yeah,
absolutely.
Like, nowadays, R2 is played by a... robot, because people can build R2 units, but that back then it was a small dude in a little suit.
Exactly.
I mean, they
that had to get climb into this suit every day.
Yeah,
in the desert.
Yeah,
and do these scenes for a tattoo.
And I've seen pictures of him like with the dome part off, just sitting in like the body of R2 with like them like fans and pouring water on him because he's like overheating.
Yeah, or Anthony Daniels in that C-3PO.
Yeah, could not be. I mean, Peter Mayhew, like, you know, I don't see how, like, you know, at least he wasn't on Tatooine. Well, he was in, like, Mos Eisley's container. I'm sure that was on a soundstage somewhere. Yeah, it's got to be hot being in a Wookiee suit. And the other thing that's so great about, because I've gone back and watched a lot of bad 70s, early 80s sci-fi, and it just looks, like, horrible. But you go back and watch the original trilogy, even if you... because I still have the original stuff on VHS, even without the updated special editions, the effects still hold up. I mean, it still looks like... I mean,
that was the thing. Like
something made in modern era.
Yeah, you know, I...
it doesn't look like something out of the 70s.
I was late, you know, getting into the whole Star Wars gang. But, you know, watching the original films, I mean, they captivated me, and they held my attention, and... in a lot of ways, because things seem so much more practical rather than CGI, like, there was a feeling there that, you know, I was like, damn. Whereas the prequels and all the CGI and all of that stuff, like, it did not have the same feeling at all.
Yeah, going back and watching some of that making of featurettes that have been on, like, the Blu-rays and the DVDs, it's amazing what they did with so little. Yeah, like all that stuff is like models. It's not computer generated. I mean, I've seen pictures of the Death Star run where literally they had built like the Death Star trench in a parking lot using like models and like battleship models, and then driving a truck with a camera across it and setting off little explosions and such.
And just think about the skill and time it takes to build those miniature sets. So you can get these vast shots of these huge spaceships and battle stations.
I mean, the Millennium Falcon, too, is probably one of the most famous spaceships in existence at this point.
Junk.
For being, like, you know, the biggest hunk of junk in the galaxy, it was the hot rod. I mean, Han Solo was, like, the guy driving around your neighborhood in the 70 Chevelle SS with the freaking turbochargers and the nitrous. I mean, it was like I said, the Falcon was just, you know,
I mean, it was the envy iconic. Of all ships, yeah.
I mean, when I was a kid, like, I wanted to be an X-Wing pilot. I mean, it was, like, it's...
And now, thanks to Fantasy Flight Games, I can!
Exactly, that's why I play that X-Wing game so much.
Damn asteroids.
Yeah. And then we also, like you said, they introduced Boba Fett, who is, well, like, as we talked the other week, was actually introduced in that horrible Star Wars holiday special. But, I mean, Fett is like the... Outlaw Josie Wales of the Star Wars universe. Yes. He is the Clint Eastwood. Doesn't have a whole lot of lines, but he's like such a badass. that, I mean, probably...
You know what they say, actions speak louder than words.
Yeah,
I mean, if I don't, all the bounty hunters that they had on Darth Vader's Super Star Destroyer back in episode two, in episode five, I guess, at this point.
Yeah.
The only one anyone ever remembers is Boba Fett.
Yeah. You don't remember Dengar, IG-88, Bosk, or... I can't remember the little bug
guys. We remember them, but most people...
Yeah, that's because I have, like, 300 Star Wars novels, and I've read too much of the old expanded universe.
And all but 298 are now obsolete.
Yeah, I know. It sucks, man. Like, I fail at Star Wars trivia now because none of that shit's canon anymore. But, I mean, yeah, like I said, Fett is probably a highlight of that original trilogy. And also, you know, a character that I've portrayed myself, Jabba the Hutt. I mean, in those original trilogy, he's probably the most alien thing we've seen. And Jabba is, like I said, he is the gangster of of the Star. I mean, you're like, it's a fucking fat slug guy.
I don't know.
But he controlled he's probably the biggest threat above, like, you know, the Vader and the Emperor. Yeah. It's like Vader, the Emperor, and then, like, Jabba. Those are the two people you're freaking scared to deal with.
I would, I don't know. For me, Jabba was always kind of like the, you know, the Cthulhu of Star Wars.
I mean, the dude has a rancor pit. I mean, yeah.
And a trap door with a button.
Yeah. I mean, who would not want to be a...
He's the quintessential bad guy.
Yeah.
He is the
Bond villain of Star Wars.
Exactly, the Bond villain, that's it.
Do you expect me to talk Jabba? No, I expect you to die. So, out of the original trilogy, who's your favorite character, Brad?
Oh, man. I don't know. Jesus. Out of the original trilogy, I don't know. I think I got to go with, you know, Luke. I mean, Luke's such an iconic character that, you know, I don't know. I mean, I kind of...
Come on, I want to go to Tossie Station, pick up some power converters.
Why kneel it up?
Just like his father.
There you go.
Oh, what about you, Norm?
I'm going to go with one that we haven't talked about yet, and that is the man himself, Lando Calrissian.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the pimp of the Star Wars universe. I mean, he's
the player. He's the angler.
He is such a pimp.
He's the guy that looks for all the angles.
Yeah, I mean, hits on
He had Leia. He had a little rough patch in Empire, but he turned it around.
Yeah, and in reality, probably made the best decision because he's like, I got to betray my friend, but I'm going to save my entire planet.
What you're running?
It's like the needs of the few outweigh the needs of an entire needs planet. The needs of the few.
What do you do when Darth Vader and the Empire come knocking at your door and they want to make a deal with you, or they're going to blow up everybody that you're in charge of?
They've already destroyed Alderaan, so you know, like blowing up a freaking cloud city's not that hard. So I mean, did what he had to do.
You want. Darth Vader comes to you, and they want some kid named Luke. I've never heard of a Luke. Sure, you can have him. You can use my base and set a trap for him, as long as you leave my friends here.
Yeah, I mean, he tried to save Leia and Chewie.
Of course, like Darth Vader does. We're going to change the plan a little bit.
I've altered the deal. Pray I do not alter it further.
So, then Han Solo goes to Fett.
Yep.
Then we're going to alter it one more time. All these people that we were going to leave with you, yeah, we're taking them too.
Yeah.
And at that point, Lando steps up
and tries to do what's right.
We're going
to
do what's right. We're going to get them out.
And he even helps them in Return of the Jedi to save Han. I mean, and also lead the attack on the Death Star. I mean, he definitely redeemed himself in the course of the movies.
Yeah. On the list of crazy things to do, what am I going to do? I'm going to get into this little spaceship and lead an attack on a giant planet-destroying battle station.
General Lando Calrissian. I would say for me, my favorite character has always been Han Solo. General. Han Solo was... Like, I didn't want to be Luke. I wanted to be the smuggler, man. The scout. I mean, he was a scoundrel. If you play Dungeons & Dragons, I would call Luke Skywalker lawful good because he was just a Boy Scout. And Han is more... neutral good or chaotic. He ultimately does the right thing, but he does it because it benefits him most of the time.
Exactly.
There's a few poor choices in between.
Like, for example, the when he gets betrayed on Bespin, you see the doors open. There's Darth Vader. Han does not look at Lando like Credence, like, why'd you betray me? He doesn't, like, you know, react in fear. He immediately draws his gun and shoots at freaking Darth Vader. That is the most badass move. Yeah. Be Han. And he's got a 7-foot-tall Wookiee as his, you know, his sidekick. Yeah. And he's a gambler, too. I mean, he won the Falcon in a game of Sabacc. I mean, he's basically, like, the, you know, the playboy gangster, you know, thief.
So he's Iron Man?
Pretty much. Without the money.
Without the money.
Yeah.
Because he gambles it away.
Like I said, even when he's getting tortured by Vader, he's still, like, you know,
cracking wise.
Yeah, giving him shit. when he meets Jabba, you know, when he's about to be executed, you know, fed to the Sarlacc, he's still, like, you know, giving Jabba shit. So, let's talk about some other stuff. The big thing for me, anyway, has been the expanded universe. Like I said, there's so much other things that have happened in the Star Wars universe, or at least until the Disney takeover. Have y'all, you know, read any of the novelizations or any of that stuff?
I haven't read any of the new stuff yet.
That's probably one of the things, and like I said, we'll get into it deeper when we start giving our Force Awakens review, is there is so many great villains in the expanding. I mean, Luke has rebuilt the Jedi Order. The Empire is basically, you know, gone or vastly reduced. I mean, there's the Yuuzhan Vong. There's, like, another Galactic Civil War. And to not use those things, it's kind of like, you know, I can understand why Disney did it, because there's so much. There's 30 years of history there, so it kind of, like, limits of what they can do.
Yeah, there's new. There's no place for them to put a movie.
So I can understand why they did that, but I just think, like, there's better bad guys to use. And like I said, I'll explain that further when we get into the spoiler side of the episode. But post-Disney and the new, because they've started a new expanded universe and they've released some books, and the new books are just not, they're using completely different writers. I've not enjoyed as many of them as the original. Most of the stuff has taken place either during the original trilogy or maybe just past Return of the Jedi. But, you know, there's not been anything as far as, like, the Force Awakens stuff yet. So there's, like, still a 30-year blank space that we're not dealing with. And a lot of them have been featured, like, introduced new characters. Like, the Aftermath is one of the biggest ones that's just came out. The only known character in that book is Wedge. And he's, like, captured through most of the book. And the rest of it's, like, all these new characters that I don't give a shit about. I'm like, these are new people. I've never heard of these people before. Like, I don't give a fuck that they're having an adventure.
Well, that's the hard part. Coming up with a new, trying to introduce new characters into an existing universe, it's hard to get people to care about what happens to them.
Like, I want to hear what happened to, like, you know, Luke, Leia, and all these other people. I don't care what
this... I'm really curious to see what happens, you know, let's fast forward another 30 years from now. You know, will folks look back and, you know, will Luke, Princess Leia, and Han Solo, like, will they have the impact on the future generations that they have ours?
Yeah. You know, our kids will be... Our grandkids will be talking about Rey and Finn, which we'll get to here in a minute.
Kylo.
Yeah. Of the new books that have came out, probably the only one that I did like was called Dark Disciple, because it did feature a lot of people, known characters in it. And it's basically supposed to be the final season of the Clone Wars, because, like, when Disney took over, Clone Wars got canceled. And they had, like, these a whole another season worth of scripts, and they just kind of made a book out of what they were intending to do with, like, the final episode of the Clone Wars. And that book I can, like, highly recommend. I mean, I did dig that storyline, because it is, you know, more adventures in the Clone Wars era.
And just to restate, if you've never seen the Clone Wars cartoon series, I'll second and highly recommend that you watch it. It's a great series.
Speaking of cartoons, does anyone ever remember the cartoon Droids?
Oh God, that's old.
Where it was just R2 and C-3PO having adventures on their own and getting into random shit.
Is that still canon?
Maybe, I don't know, but that was a weird. Wasn't there like an Ewoks cartoon for a while too, back in like the 80s or something? And then getting into the modern era, we have Star Wars Rebels is the new hotness that has come out.
Yeah, that's the new bridge after.
Yeah, it's taking place kind of in the period between episode 3 and 4. It's like the early days of the rebellion. So there's no Luke Skywalker. You've seen Princess, but she is still like a, you know, the daughter of Organa, Bail Organa. You know, she's not really that well featured, but it's just a group of rebel operatives on a ship getting into random adventures, and they've shown Obi like a there's been like a little bit of Obi-Wan, but there's Yoda. There's been some like, you know, it was just like a Force vision, but yeah, they've Yoda. But one of the cool things is in the latest season they've introduced the clone commanders, like Obi-Wan and our Anakin's clone commander. Was it Commander Cody, right? Or whatever? Or no, Rex. No,
they did Captain Rex.
Yeah, not Captain Cody. Rex. And some of these, you know, like they're old men now. It's funny, and they've joined the rebellion because they think they left the Empire after, you know, Order 66, and apparently they did not turn on their Jedis. They had like pulled their plug order, but Rex is hilarious because he's like, there's like once when you first meet these guys, they get attacked by the Empire, and he's like, I hope y'all brought better soldiers than these stormtroopers.
Even the clones don't think much of the stormtroopers.
And we got the supposed last of the Jedi, Kanan, who was, wasn't even really a Jedi because
he was a
Padawan during Order 66. So he's not, you know, definitely not.
His master was killed at Order 66. If I remember it right.
He's definitely not Obi-Wan at this. So he's kind of trying to train his own apprentice when he doesn't fully know what's going on. And they've also reintroduced Ahsoka Kitano. She has showed up. She's a big rebel operative, and she has turned into like quite a badass too.
Yeah, I don't know. I really like the progression of her character.
Yeah, she's like a dual lightsaber wielding like badass. And of course, Star Wars has also influenced a lot of video games. I mean, currently we've got Star Wars Battlefront, which is seems to be very popular. Still don't have a PS4, so I haven't played it yet. What's maybe some of your favorite video games from the Star Wars universe?
Mine is that old X-Wing console game that you'd go to the arcade and play, sit down.
Oh,
and
yeah. Play. I played that recently at, was it Flashback Games? They had an old Star Wars arcade game. And that new X-Wing simulator they've got, we went down to
Dave and Buster's.
Dave and Buster's. That really? Thing is badass. That? I haven't been there yet. You get in, it's like a whole pod you get into. So, and the screen kind of wraps around. So even when you look to the side, it looks like you're still in the cockpit.
Is it like those old BattleTech pods?
Almost, but it's like you sit in this thing. You're in the and the screen is like it's like a bowl nearly. So it wraps all the way around you. So when you look right or left, you're still inside the cockpit.
Yeah, we've actually got a little bit of a gameplay video while we were down there on YouTube now. So.
And there's even one level where you're flying the speeder bikes, and there's a little fan that blows air in your face when you're flying the speeder bikes. It's insane.
I don't know. I mean, still I find myself playing the hell out of the game today as a Rogue Squadron.
Yes, for 64.
I remember that.
I mean, on the computer, the original TIE Fighter versus X-Wing, and then the TIE Fighter game, those two are probably some of my favorite like little flight simulator games. And you can't forget, Knights of the Old Republic on, like, original Xbox.
Oh, yeah. I played the shit out of Knights of the
Old Republic. Xbox and PC.
Yeah. I've never been, an RPG fan, but the way they did it, where it wasn't, like, turn-based like Final Fantasy, where you are putting in turns, but it's all kind of happening simultaneously. And that's probably one of the first games where you could either choose. There was branching storylines where you could choose the light side or the dark side. And I've seen that recreated in so many different games since then. That whole, like, you know, good or evil choices, giving you choice, you know, moral choices in the game, which kind of, it really draws you in and makes you, you know, feel like you're part of the game.
Makes you a little bit more immersive.
Yes.
Yeah, you become a bit more invested in the game. I don't know. I mean, one of the series that really pops out is, you know, the Fable series.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of. I couldn't remember the name. Oh, but also probably one of the upsides of the Disney takeover is they took the rights to produce, since Disney owns Marvel, gave the rights of Star Wars back to Marvel. And Marvel has released, I don't know how many different titles there are now of Star Wars comics. I mean, there's a Chewbacca comic, there's a Leia comic, there's the Star Wars comic, there's Darth Vader has his own title, and there's even a Lando miniseries, which Lando is a straight pimp in that. I mean, he is, like, hitting on everything. I mean, he even, like, you know, sleeps with some Imperial moth or something, and you know, like, convinces her to give him some kind of item that he's looking for or whatever. It, like, I mean, he's just straight pimping.
Like I said, best character in the series.
And the newest one that's been coming out, it's Shattered Empire. It's supposed to be kind of showing, like, between Empire and, or at least the aftermath of Empire leading into Force Awakens, and a character that we'll talk about when we talk about Force Awakens, Poe Dameron. It's kind of the story of his parents.
Yeah.
Like, his father was part of Han's strike team on Endor, and his mother was an A-wing pilot in the, you know, battle of the second Death Star. And like, that's been a good series for. And there's one they're doing right now. It's called it's kind of crossing over between all the series, called Vader Down. And it's about, basically, Darth Vader gets shot down on this planet that turns out to be trying to find Luke. He's trying to find Luke, ends up getting shot down on this planet that's a rebel base. And it's Vader versus, like, an entire army of rebels. I mean, there's, like, one scene where he's literally surrounded by a battalion of soldiers, and they're like, drop your weapons, we have you surrounded. He's like, I am only surrounded by fear and dead men.
That is awesome. That's probably one of the most memorable quotes.
Yeah, I mean, Vader, they've done a good job of kind of expanding the legend of Darth Vader in the new comic book series. He's, you know why he is, like, the ultimate threat in the, at least the original trilogy of Star Wars.
He is the big bad
of Star Wars. And we got to talk about epic rap battles of history.
Yes.
I mean, the Darth Vader versus Hitler has probably been their biggest videos in depth. You gave in to hate, now you're whatever, 6 foot asthmatic or something. I mean, even Boba Fett's gotten his own rap now. We got Boba Fett versus Deadpool.
Well, not just epic rap battles, but there's also the superhero beatdown.
Yes, Vader versus Batman. In the original, freaking Vader fucks up Batman in the original.
But then they go back and fix it.
Yes,
nobody beats Batman.
Yeah, they keep doing the, when they have, like, a battle that's close, they'll give you the alternate ending of changing around. But yeah, originally Vader won that battle, and they had Vader versus Gandalf too, which was weird.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I don't know. Between that one, I think I'm giving it to Vader.
Vader Gandalf. Yeah. I think I'll give it to Vader.
All right, how about, of all our villains we've had in the Star Wars universe, Darth Maul, the Emperor, Vader, Count Dooku, who is your ultimate badass of the Star Wars universe?
I don't know. I've always been partial to Darth Maul. I mean, you know, something about just his look and his appearance and everything else. I mean, he seemed much more menacing than what Vader did.
Like, yeah, like, I thought he was going to be the Vader of the original, or the prequel trilogy, but then he gets cut in half in the first movie.
Yeah, yeah, I actually didn't see that coming in the movie.
No. I figured he would have been around for a long. Well, then again, he didn't die, because we see him in the Clone Wars. He got robotic legs. And
yeah. Still angry, though.
Yeah, still very, very angry.
Very angry. And he was really what you
And shout out to Ray Park, too, for playing Darth Maul.
You see Darth Maul, and you see that is what a Sith is supposed to be.
Yeah.
He's angry, but it's a little uncontrolled. He just flies off the handle. And then you see the other side of the dark side with Count Dooku, where it's really tightly controlled, and he's...
Yeah, he's just manipulative and planning and outthinking. And then we also have General Grievous, the...
Oh, yeah.
The weird... It's kind of like Vader... Not Grievous. It's like, Vader, 1.0.
Exactly. And I think that's exactly how it was supposed to be in canon, that a lot of the things that they tried on Grievous is how they were able to rebuild Vader after he got his legs cut off.
And set on fire.
And
before we wrap it up, we've neglected to mention one of my favorite actors, Samuel Jackson, as Mace Windu. Hand me my lightsaber. It's the one that says bad motherfucker. I mean, the only one who had a purple freaking lightsaber.
I'm tired of these motherfucking Sith on my motherfucking planet.
I mean, he's the one that scars the Emperor. I mean, that's redirecting his force. If it wasn't for Anakin being a bitch and throwing him out of a window,
that would have been the end of the movie.
It would have been done right there. All right. As we wrap this up, and from here on out, we're going to take a short break. And then from here on out, spoiler alert, when we come back, we're going to talk about The Force Awakens in great, great spoilery detail. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And we're not talking about the great Clint Eastwood movie. So you're warned. Turn it off now if you don't want to hear spoilers. Because when we come back, we're going to spoil the fuck out of this movie. Be right back.
With pig bodyguards. He never wears clothes, 'cause he's baller. He puts on these shows. Girls wear collars. She danced for a bit, got dropped in the pit. Now she's ranker. 'Cause he rolls like this. Licking with his tongue on the trap door. Don't get it on your face, he has cold sores. Move like Gabba, I'm eating food.
And we're back. Time to get spoilery up in here.
Spoilers.
Yep, the Force has awakened.
Be more spoiled than bad blue milk.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Nice Star Wars reference.
Yes.
Nice obscure Star Wars reference.
Oh, yeah. Some that Tatooine blue milk, yo. All right, so we've all seen The Force Awakens at least once. Or so I've seen it like really late at night out of work. I was like, The Force Awakens, and then The Force wants to take a nap.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. I guess it was just excitement or whatever. Like, I was just pumped after that. Like, I was ready to go and see it again immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean,
like for a 2 hour and something movie, like it did not feel that long.
Yeah. Right now, my text alert is DB8.
Or BB-8.
BB-8, whatever. I keep getting that
wrong. Know. It's weird.
And everyone DB-8 does.
BB-8 is that other one.
Yes. Yeah, BB-8. That's my text alert right now, the freaking BB-8. And my ringtone is the Imperial March, because... I mean, my first impression walking into the theater, when I heard that John Williams score kick up, and then the Star Wars and the text scrawl starts... I almost teared up. I was like, I'm a freaking kid again. Oh my. Because this is really, other than watching when they did the special editions and released them in theaters, and I guess sort of the prequels, this is felt like the first time seeing Star Wars in a big theater. Because like I said, the prequels really didn't feel like Star Wars, but this felt like Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I feel like this movie is the movie that Star Wars fans were looking for. Like, yeah. You know, I mean, it was action-packed. It grabbed you, and you were in... You know, there were so many throwbacks. I mean, seeing Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, like, all these people. Like you said, you know, it's, there's a nostalgia that you're reliving. Yes.
Like, I really... It took me a couple days before I could even think about it critically. Because I was just on that nostalgia, you know, trip seeing that again.
In the theater I saw it in, when the crawl started, everybody clapped.
Yeah.
Like, we were on video or something like that, that people would listen to. We were just there cheering.
when the first announced we're getting a new Star Wars, I was cautiously optimistic. Because J.J. has done some cool stuff, but... What he did with the Star Trek franchise, I'm just like, I don't know if he's going to be able to pull off Star Wars. And I got to say, he did. I mean, he went back to a ton of practical effects. I mean, there's definitely some CGI highlights, but it doesn't stand out as CGI. I mean, you almost think that he is using miniatures again. I mean, it looked like that original dirty, lived-in universe. It wasn't, you know... blatantly CGI to me.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing, is, you know, it seemed believable. I mean, you were vested, you know, and
even a lot of the aliens are practical creatures and not CGI. I think, and even the ones that you know are CGI, like Maz Amata, who is the little old lady alien that runs this bar that Han goes to try to find the resistance, as they're called.
Have you seen the meme?
She doesn't even look... I mean, she could quite easily be a Frank Oz, you know...
Puppet.
I mean, it's if you didn't know she was CGI, like, she looks real.
Well, you know, one of the memes floating around is, you know, it shows her... And next is the grandma from Golden Girls.
Yes, like, exactly. I saw like, that today. That was hilarious. Holy shit,
the resemblance is real.
It's like, I've lived long enough that I've seen eyes in other bodies, or however she says it. She's like, I've seen your eyes before. And like, it does look like she was based off of Estelle Getty. I was like, oh my God, that's insane. Like, I didn't think about it until I saw that meme, and I'm like, you're fucking right, it is.
You know, and going into this movie, I made it a point to stay away from everything, including the trailers. Although the trailers were great in that they didn't give away
most trailers, you can guess the plot of the movie.
I mean, that's my
and
pet peeve with the
going
Batman
in. I still knew nothing about it based on what we've seen in the previews.
I mean, you know, one of my pet peeves is, like you said, Batman versus Superman. Like, I feel like I've already got the storyline down. Like, there's no point in me seeing the film. But with Star Wars, I mean, there was enough there that, oh yeah, it feels like Star Wars, but it didn't give away any major plot points. And I gotta give it out to, you know, the fans for Star Wars, ultimately.
Yes,
because,
what have you seen,
you know,
people
even on
not
social media
stuff for...
and all of that stuff, like, I have not seen, you know, spoilers still. Like, you know,
yeah.
I mean...
Even hanging out at the cigar shop, we're like, have you seen it? It was like kind of like almost like, you know,
oh,
Hydra. Like,
exactly.
Like, literally, like, the one day we're at the shop, there's, like, me, Norm, and this other guy that had actually seen it. We went into another room because we didn't want to, like, be
talking about it
in front of, like, people who hadn't seen it yet. It was like a little secret cabal in the back room to discuss Star Wars.
You did have a pretty significant scare, right?
Oh, yes. When I went to see it, I got there. I was going to a 10:30 3D show, and there's a huge line for people going into, like, the 9:30 show. And the guy's like, oh, there's no line for the 10:30 show. You can go ahead. I'm like, all right, does the line start here? No, just go on in. And I walked in, and the previous show was still playing. So I walked in, like, maybe 15, 20 minutes before it was over. And I was like, oh, shit, and, like, ran out real quick before I saw it. And I saw something that I was convinced, like, because if anyone who's seen it yet, Finn's laying on a table thing. And I was like, fuck, Finn's dead. I'm like, I've just ruined the whole movie. I know Finn's going to fucking die. And like, luckily, that may or may not be the case. I have my own theories, but I was like, yeah, I was
time
scared.
For theories are at the end of this conversation. Yes.
And like, we've gotten a lot of new characters because you know the original cast is kind of supporting characters at this point. They're trying to introduce new heroes for you know continuing the new generation. The trilogy on. So we get Rey, who is a mysterious. We don't know where she comes from. We don't know. You know who she is.
We don't know anything about
her. A scavenger
her.
On this desert junkyard world, much like we see Luke as a moisture farmer in the original. There's definitely some parallels.
I think
parallels
she's
you
got Skywalker blood in her, though. Like,
yeah. My theory at this point is from the original. All right, Kylo Ren. Like I said, we're spoiling it. It's Han Solo and Leia's son, and in the books. They
and
had
his
twins.
His name is not Kylo Ren.
Yeah. In the books, they had twins, Jason and Jacinta. Jason fell to the dark side, and it was up to
his twin
Jacinta
sister.
To take him down. So, could she be Kylo's sister? And they kind of like, when he fell to the dark side, they protected her and kind of like, you know, Luke maybe done some force whammy on her to erase her memory, and everyone's like, trying to keep her a secret from him, or is she secretly Luke's kid? We don't know. Or you know, or did she? Is she the daughter of one of Luke's Jedis that he trained before the Jedi Order was wiped out again? We don't know. But I mean, to me, she knows way too much about the Force already. I mean, as the movie progresses, she's
like the first time she uses the Force. Like,
yeah, I mean,
you would think that she's
doing stuff. That it took Luke years to figure out how to do, like right off the rip with no training whatsoever. And she's also, for a scavenger, pretty accomplished pilot. I mean, she's
pretty
doing stuff.
Accomplished. Hell, the way she handled the Falcon, like,
yeah, that's,
dude, when watching the Falcon
Han
do
Solo-esque.
The fucking, you know, yeah. backflip and, you know, the perfect landing, like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah,
where
she's got to do something when she's sitting on that desert planet all by herself. So she flies
planes, she found some simulators somewhere and been practicing. But yeah, I'm like, she knows way too much about the Falcon.
No, but
to
going
be,
back, to,
like the first time on the Falcon.
But you know, back to the beginning of the movie when we see her for the first time, she's crawling in the insides of a downed Star Destroyer.
And what's cool
is just doing some. Pretty amazing things yeah. just in that angle alone.
In the new expanded universe, there's a book called Star by Star, Fallen Star, something with Star in the title, and not Star Wars. But in that book, there's a battle of Jakku where the rebellion is trying to capture Star Destroyers, and the captain of that Star Destroyer crashes into Jakku to keep the rebels from getting the ship, and then that's the ship that you see
in
the movie. And that's why there's all these junked X-Wings and Imperial stuff. And that's why this planet is a junkyard, because there was a huge final, you know, like after Endor, huge space battle at this planet. And that's why it's now pretty much a junkyard. And then we also get introduced to, which he didn't play that big a part in this movie, but I see him being a bigger part as we continue on, of Poe Dameron. Who is the leader of, like, an X-Wing squadron.
Yes.
He's almost the Wedge of this, you know, universe. And I gotta say, I dug that character. I mean, he was kind of the Han Solo of this new trilogy. Like I said, when he's there, you know, on Jakku trying to find... Because in this movie, Luke Skywalker has been missing for several years. We find out that he started rebuilding the Jedi Order... One of his students turned to the dark side and wiped out the Jedi again. And so he kind of, I guess, post-traumatic stress, whatever, decided to leave the galaxy, try to find the first Jedi temple, some bullshit. So everyone is trying to find Luke Skywalker. Because
to learn how to become a Jedi Master. Because, remember, Luke Skywalker is pretty much half-trained as it is. He's pretty
true.
Much flying by the seat of his pants through Jedi as it
yeah.
from the beginning.
Yeah, he kind of had to, like, finish his own training because, you know, Yoda died, Ben died. You know, it's... So he's been kind of trying to be a self-trained Jedi Master. So, yeah, everyone's trying to find Luke, and that's what Poe's there, trying to get a map to find Luke Skywalker, some old dude. But, yeah, when he even gets captured by Kylo, he's, like, not even intimidated. Like, Kylo's staring at him, he's like, so, do I talk first? Do you talk first? how does this work? I mean, as he's getting interrogated by the supposedly the biggest badass.
Well, there's no sense of intimidation that Vader had, I guess, because he didn't care, or Kylo Ren is a new, he doesn't know who he is.
Either he's such a badass that he doesn't give, like Han, you know, does not give a fuck. Or he's just like,
Well, I think it's partially that Han doesn't give a fuck, but I think, too, that, you know, he's able to see through Kylo Ren. I mean, Kylo Ren, as evil as he is, you know, I was never convinced he was truly turned to the dark side, because he's still, you know, fighting the light. You know, the light is still calling to him and everything.
He was not the imposing character that Vader was.
Yeah, I mean, Vader is essentially, you know, the Fallen. You know, you don't get any darker of a soul than that.
No, Vader was the big bad boogeyman of the original trilogy. Vader showed up, it was like, oh shit, this has all gone to hell. We need to get the fuck out of here right now.
Yeah. But Kylo is just... That's one thing that kind of
felt like teenage hormones with Kylo. Yes.
And that was one of the kind of the comedic moments was because he just has like anger issues and flies off the handle. Like when back in the day, if Vader got disappointing news, he'd force choke a dude. Yeah, Kylo just like loses his temper, smashes his computer, and is like, "All right, continue with your report."
The First Order troopers see him in this movie. First Order troopers walk up on him, and he's throwing a tantrum. I think this is near the second half of the movie where Rey escapes and he finds her gone. He's throwing this huge temper tantrum. The troopers walk up, they look, and they walk away.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I'm not getting involved in that shit. I got something else to patrol. Which,
you know, I mean, even the stormtroopers in this film didn't appear near as menacing. Like,
but there were certainly better shots.
Yeah. By all means.
Yeah, this is pretty much the first time we've seen
stormtroopers hit things.
Yeah, and just like the massive battle of storm. It looks like there's so many of them in this one. And I said let's talk about the new trooper armor for a minute.
Oh, Lord. The bucket.
The whole time I was looking at it, I was like, there's just something wrong about it. And then I finally realized what it is. You look at the original stormtroopers, they look intimidating, and they look like they kind of like they're frowning. But the way they've done the mask, the new troopers all look like they're smiling. Like, they have these weird grins. Like, they're not intimidating, they're creepy. Like, they may touch you inappropriately if you... They're flying around in intergalactic rape fans. That's all I'm saying about the new stormtroopers.
Well, since we're talking about the new First Order troopers, not stormtroopers.
True.
Let's go on to our favorite trooper, FN 2187, also known as Finn.
Traitor.
And I gotta say, John Boyega, I like that movie, Attack the Block. He was good in that, about aliens invading like the English hood, and that was one of the big twists of the movie. Is from all the trailers we've seen him with the lightsaber, we expected him to be the next Jedi, and hell, who knows, he may have the Force at some point. They didn't really go into that in this movie. But no, it's not him. It's Rey is the one who is the new Skywalker.
Yeah, because none of the trailers showed her with the lightsaber.
Yeah, we thought she was going to be the new Princess Leia when she's really the new Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was funny, you know, when Finn's like, shit, I need a weapon. It's like, you're holding a weapon. You got a lightsaber.
Oh, yeah. Turn it on. And amazingly doesn't cut off a limb.
Yeah. I mean, at least he had some kind of like trooper combat training.
Well,
so
well, it seems like they've taught these First Order troopers how to fight hand to hand, because in that first scene on Jakku, that trooper with the baton knew how to fight with one. No, it wasn't Jakku. It was on that other planet.
Yeah, well, I can't remember what Tanata or something like that. Yeah, when he was fighting Nas Finn, Kamada's bar is.
He was fighting Finn with that light baton,
like,
or whatever.
Riot trooper.
The riot trooper. And they were going at it.
I don't know. You know, the riot trooper has taken the internet by storm.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
He's probably the biggest badass of the First Order. That whole, like, riot trooper action.
He's the standout villain of the movie. And he was just this bit part.
And to continue talking about the character of Finn, he's a stormtrooper that basically, I get the feeling that Jakku was his first real combat experience, because later on he says he was in charge of sanitation on Starkiller base. So, he kind of sees what the Force Order is actually about. And, you know, when his, I guess, buddy fellow trooper there dies, he's just like, and then they murder this entire village of people in true Imperial, or, you know, as the Imperial used to do, fashion. He's like, I can't, these people are fucking nuts. I got to get out of here. Yeah. And like I said, they're not clones. They're people who have, in Finn's case, was taken as a child and...
Yeah, I mean, basically brainwashed
as into being a trooper.
And they address that in the movie, too, where they say, maybe we shouldn't have gone with brainwashing all these young kids. Maybe we should go back to clones.
Yeah.
Because I think the generals there would rather have the clones that would just do anything they say, but...
Yeah, when you get to deal with humans, there's a... Yeah. And
the Force-wielding side of the Empire, or whatever they're calling themselves now, the Forced Order, want these young kids to be brainwashed.
And that was another thing that kind of I did appreciate when they explained it more, was when I first saw the trailers and I'm like, it's been 30 years. We're still fighting the Empire. That's a pretty shitty rebellion if 30 years we've not won this war, even after blowing up the second Death Star and killing the Emperor. But no, the First Order rose from kind of like an Imperial remnant. So they've got kind of some of the Imperial technology, but they're not the Empire. They're just kind of like, you know, this small splinter group that has kind of made a comeback.
Yeah, and not so small either.
No, I mean, like, we see... we don't know if they have bases throughout the galaxy, but we see like pretty large force on this Starkiller base.
A ton.
Which was very Nazi-esque with General Huck, you know, addressing his giant troops.
Yeah, he's basically space Hitler. And they really go all in on the Nazi overtones in the First Order.
Yeah, the First Order is definitely... But I did like the fact that they mentioned that there is a New Republic. So we did technically win that first war and have started a new government or whatever that is quickly wiped out by this new super, super Death Star.
The super Death Star.
Yeah, that can take out like 5 planets at once.
Yeah, which is, you know, that was kind of weird too. Like, you know, the Death Star is pretty much all technology based. This one was kind of interesting.
Built inside of a planet.
Inside of the planet and, you know, basically harnesses, you know, that planet's sun's power.
To charge its weapons. And that was another thing too. I'm like, we've had 2 Death Stars already. Do we really need another? And I think it's funny because Han Solo even kind of makes the crack like, so what? It's another Death Star. We've blown up these before. There's always a way to blow it up. And they're like, well, this is the size of the Death Star. This is the size of Starkiller Base. And it's like just massively bigger. And he's like, oh, shit. Okay, I can see how this will be a problem.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that scene there is one of the reasons that, you know, Finn's character, I really liked him, because he puts on such a good poker face. Like, no, guys, we got this. You know, I'm an insider. Yes. And, you know, they get to Starkiller Base. So how do you know all of this stuff? I really don't. I just worked in sanitation.
Like, he's like, Luke, what's your plan? I don't know. We'll use the Force. We'll figure it out. And he's like, kid, it doesn't work that way.
That's not how any of this works.
Yes. Oh, and even when you first see him, meet and rescue Poe, he's like, why are you helping me? He's like, because it's the right thing. He's like, you need a pilot, don't you?
I need a pilot.
And he said they steal a TIE fighter, which now apparently are 2-seaters, so they've been upgraded. They have a pilot and a gunner, not just a pilot. But and then when he crash lands on Jakku and he's kind of by himself and sees Rey's character for the first time.
And falls in love.
Yeah. As people do.
Which is so, you know, I mean,
well, he's been on, he's guy, I mean, he's been on.
Yeah, he's been deployed Star for a Killer long
base
time.
For his entire life. Got to keep that stupid helmet on all the time. You take it off, they yell at you. He gets on this planet, sees the girl, thump, thump.
My theory is he's secretly Lando's kid. That's why he was trying to pimp right from the beginning. He's that's like when Maz comes, he's like, I've seen these eyes before. Friggin' Lando's. He's gonna find out he's Lando's son.
Yeah.
Finn Calrissian. But yeah, that's one thing I liked about Rey's character too is, you know, she's not the typical damsel in distress. She is definitely, you know, a Leia prototype or archetype, because, I mean, when he sees her getting, like, her attacked by these guys, he goes to help her, and then she beats the fuck out of these guys, and he's like, never mind, I wasn't about to help her.
But then she comes in and beats his ass when robots, when BB-8 says that, tells her, because she can speak droid, apparently.
Of course. I mean, Luke spoke droid. He's the only one who knows what the fuck R2's saying, except 3PO. So that's another thing that she may be a Skywalker.
It's like, is that a class you can take? To speak droid? Kind of like speaking Wookiee?
I'm fluent in over 6 million forms of communication.
It's like a Berlitz tape that you can listen to.
Yes, she understands Wookiee, too. She, like, speaks... her and Han's the only one who knows what the hell Chewie's saying all the time. Oh. And speaking of which, the reintroduction to the Falcon. That's probably the most, when I was like just yelling at the screen in the theater, because like they're getting attacked by the First Order and they're running through the ship. He's like, "We'll take this ship." He's like, "What about this other one?" "That's a hunk of junk." And then the ship blows up. He's like, "All right, we'll take the hunk of junk." And it's the Falcon. I'm like, "Holy fuck! Why is the Falcon here? Where the fuck is Han?" It was like confused the hell out of me.
Yeah, there were so many unanswered questions.
And then like they get
go see the next movie
by. This freighter, and it's Han and Chewie.
Yeah. I mean, that was like one of the pivotal, you know, moments for me. Like, that moment was so nostalgia when Han and Chewie step foot on the ship. And, you know, at that point, I'm like, this is fucking Star Wars.
Yeah, like, Chewie, we're home.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the whole them two kind of bickering back and forth. That was Star Wars to me. Like, when, you know, like, what are we going to do? We're like, we're going to talk our way out of it. I always talk my way out of it. And Chewie's like, and he's like, no, I do. I always talk my way out of it. And Chewie's like, And then they're like, isn't he like General Solo of the Rebellion? And he's like, and Chewie's like, maybe. And he's like, sort of. Oh, but yeah. But then
Han tries to talk to one side. No, I got with that other side. They're right over there. Oh, hey, guys. How's it going?
Yeah,
bad he's guys like, on this side? Bad guys on this side. What do I do?
And like, yeah, like, so basically, you know, as we find out later, his son is Kylo Ren. And, like, the shock of that happening, him and Leia kind of break up or whatever, and Han just goes back doing what he's always done. He's goes back to being a freaking smuggler and a con artist. Yeah. I did like that Han shooting Chewie's bowcaster too. When Chewie gets injured, he's like,
"Yes,
I like this thing. Like, why haven't I used this before?
In 40 years, you never shot a guy's
gun." He's like blowing up stormtroopers. He's like, "This is pretty awesome. I like this. I gotta get me one of these." And even like, you know, that old Han Solo blaster, just the sound of that, you know, made me feel like this was Star Wars, because there's nothing sounds like the DL-44.
So, yeah, I don't know. There was just so much nostalgia about the film that, I don't know. I mean,
I think there was just enough.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there was a lot of new stuff, and I don't know. I mean, I was really skeptical, you know, going into it, not knowing anything about what the actual storyline would be or anything of that nature, but I walked away pleasantly surprised and wanting more.
Yeah, I mean, Han Solo is probably the highlight of seeing him again is probably the highlight of this movie. And I like when they go to the bar to find the Rebellion, and it's like him walking in the bar, it's like almost like, Norm! And so they're like, Han Solo! And he's like, oh, shit.
Hey, guys.
Oh, and so what do you think of our new R2-D2, the
BB-8?
Yeah, this year's hottest new toy is basically...
Really?
Yes.
It really is.
But, I mean, that was from the very first trailers where we saw BB-8. Like, that captured the internet, you know, by storm, and...
Even more than that, when they actually revealed that it was a practical effect.
Yes.
That they actually built... I mean, this ball and a head that stayed on top of it.
Yeah, I mean, that was like new technology. I mean, that's one thing that's always been about Lucas, and even now that Lucas, it's Disney-owned, and they've always been on the forefront of inventing new technology. Like, I want to do this. The technology doesn't exist. let me go invent it. I mean, that's the whole reason why we have Industrial Light and Magic or Skywalker Sound, which just about every movie uses either, you know, Industrial Light and Magic or Skywalker Sound or both for their effects. Yeah, I mean,
they are the reference to go back to. I mean, we need to do something that's never been done before. Let's call these guys.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, they're always on the forefront of technology. So, I mean, seeing what they've been able to accomplish in, you know, 30 years of creating amazing effects is just that was probably some of the highlights. Yeah, that and also BB-88, or fuck, whatever his name is, has a lighter too, so he could light your cigars.
I mean that
droid is welcome in the nerd cave at any time.
Like, I thought that scene was awesome. You know, he gives him the thumbs up, and he, you know, pulls out the little lighter. And
all you crafters and cosplayers, when you build your BB-8s, you had to include a torch lighter so we can light our cigars on them.
Exactly.
I demand that for the next Dragon Con cigar meetup.
Yes. Dragon Con cigar meetup. I need a BB-8 with a lighter.
You know, I mean, I was in...
Somebody will do it.
Where was I? I think I was in Radio Shack. Anyway, like, they had, like, a 3-foot BB-8. Like, it's a couple $100. Like,
yeah, you can go to the store and buy one now. Spend $200 and it's yours. You can have your very own app-controlled BB-8 to roll around your own house. It's the best toy ever.
Yes. And, like I said, the reintroduction of the Rebellion, or the Resistance as it's now known, when they're on that planet where the bar is, and the First Order troopers attack, and you see that it's like, you know, Han and them has like fought them off as best they could, and now they're kind of like captured, and then you see this kind of like fog rolling in, and everyone's like, oh shit, it's the Resistance. I mean, it's like now they are like the badasses of the guys. And those X-Wings flying low over that lake was just the most badass. Because we've always seen X-Wings in space. We've never seen X-Wings like, you know, supporting ground troops.
Not in a movie, at least.
I mean, that was awesome. And the black X-Wing that
Poe Dameron.
That's a badass X-Wing image.
Yes. I don't know. Like, I was watching that, you know, all the X-Wings and their battle, and like the only thing I could, like, fuck, I need to be playing X-Wing right now.
And that scene too, where Rey finds Vader, Luke's, you know, original lightsaber, and has that whole Force vision, which we get a voiceover from Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi. I believe Yoda's in that whole scene. There's like all these little flashes and stuff, and that was like the first time they revealed that, oh no, Finn is not the Jedi hero. It's Rey. It brings so much. Like, how the hell does little old lady get Vader's lightsaber? I mean, was she hanging out in like the you know, garbage chute of Bespin? I mean, that was the lightsaber where Luke got his hand cut off and lost. Like, I hope they explain that sometime later on in the new trilogy. It's like, how the hell does lady get Luke's lightsaber?
It'll probably be a book or a comic book.
Because Luke didn't even get his lightsaber. Luke went out and built a new one. Which, in the original Expanded Universe, the first Star Wars, Heir to the Empire trilogy, that features in that, where basically the Emperor made a clone of Luke using his hand, and Luke has to fight himself.
Yeah, I don't know. This film, I think the fact that Rey, you know, just being the strong female lead, you know, that she was in the film, like, I think that was one thing. I wasn't expecting it or anticipating it, and that made the movie for me. Like, you know, there's not too many films where you have, you know, that strong female lead, and it's done as well as what this is.
Well, let's talk about the reintroduction of Leia, who is now General Organa instead of Princess Leia.
Fett just fell.
Yeah, Fett took a nosedive
into the Sarlacc pit of the ashtray.
Which they have confirmed Fett did survive the Sarlacc. That has now been reintroduced into canon because they came out with a new Star Wars visual dictionary, and in there they have a Sarlacc pit, and one of the little captions says, you know, Boba Fett escaped his armor protected him from the digestion of the Sarlacc, and he used his weapons to fight his way out. So we may see Fett eventually in the new trilogy.
Somebody took that it is confirmed diagram.
He did live.
Yeah, somebody took that diagram and did a Lego version of it, and it's awesome. Like,
because in the expanded universe, he overloaded his jetpack, and that's how he detonated his jetpack, and that's how he escaped. But you know, since that's no longer canon, you know, I'm glad they wrote that in, that no, Fett is alive somewhere in this universe. We just haven't seen him yet.
Yeah. Although, at this point, he'll be another old guy just like everybody else.
But, I mean, you're in armor. You can't tell that he's, like, decrepit on the inside.
Yeah, but they might use him for something like the new, what is that, the Rogue One?
Yeah. Or, like I said, he could even be trained, like, now, like, you kind of like, well, becoming Mandalore, the head of the Mandalorians. He may be, you know, their leader if we see Mandalorians in a future episode, which would be pretty cool. What about the reintroduction of Leia and C-3PO?
With the red arm.
Yes. Oh, hello, General Solo. You must not recognize me because of my red arm.
Exactly.
And Leia's just like, would you get the fuck out of the way? I mean, he is still annoying and getting in the way 30 years later.
Go talk to somebody else.
Yeah, when that...
It's nice to know some things will never change.
When that troop transport, like, opens up and all the Resistance soldiers bail out, and then you see, you know, Leia get off the ship with 3PO, and she's pretty much the leader of the Resistance. That was kind of a cool reintroduction to her character. Because Han went back doing what he knows best, smuggling. She went back doing what she knows best, you know, fighting evil. And that's one thing, when we see, like, the big battle later, you see Admiral Akbar, you see Nine Nub, like...
Yes, I know.
Like, all these, amazing, like, heroes of the Resistance.
I thought it was amazing seeing characters like him that they brought back.
Yeah.
Even all these old alien characters that they just kept the species alive, reintroduced them here and there in the background, just like the original series.
Yeah, my only downside, I think, to General Organa is that you didn't see her doing a whole lot in this movie. Like, even during the big battle, they were pretty much just kind of watching the outcome on, like, the monitors or whatever. Yeah, I'd rather see her having, like, if not, you know, actually leading the battle, at least in the command center giving orders to people instead of just kind of watching shit happen.
What was Shades of Episode 4 when they're all standing around watching...
Yeah, doing nothing.
Watching the X-Wings fight against the original Death Star, and all they can do is watch on the screen. There's nothing for them to do.
And that's been one of the complaints I've heard about this movie, is it's kind of just a recreation of Episode 4. You've got the hero that's on a desert planet. They... you know, go to, you know, find the Resistance, or at back then the Rebellion. They are confronted with the Death Star. It's kind of a little close to the original.
It's close, like I said earlier, it's close, but close enough.
Yeah.
Because they need to be able to tie it in closely with the original trilogy so they can add more people and make you care about them. Yeah. So they just started from scratch and gave a whole new cast of characters without any of the old guard. You'd be in the situation where, okay, this happened, but why do I care about this person in the first place? I don't have any frame of reference for them.
And speaking of characters we don't care about, the other big thing that we've seen in the trailers that we thought was going to be Captain Phantasma, the Chrome Trooper. She does nothing in this movie.
She gets captured.
Yeah. And, like, yeah, thrown in a...
Thrown down a garbage chute. Thrown
in a garbage chute, which I thought was hilarious. But, yeah, really, she shows up, she questions Finn about taking his helmet off, and then later on, like, Finn makes her turn off the shield generator. Other than that, she doesn't do a whole... I mean, she was supposed to be the big mysterious badass, or at least we thought from the trailers, and I mean, maybe she'll have a bigger role in the future films, but does nothing.
I don't know. I mean, I think
other
because,
than look badass and chrome.
Well, you look at Vader. Vader in the original series, in the first movie, in The New Hope, really pretty small part. He was in lackey status.
Yeah.
To Tarkin, Grand Moff Tarkin on the Death Star. He wasn't the guy in charge. That changed going forward, but in that first episode, he was on a lower tier.
And then also our new supposed emperor, was it the Supreme Leader Snook or Snoke or whatever, who's basically a giant hologram guy, which, I mean, in the original movie, we didn't, the emperor was just a tiny hologram to begin with. I mean,
first
we didn't really,
two movies.
Yeah, we really didn't see him until much later on.
Yeah, I don't know. I definitely think there's some room for him to show his true evil and badassdom later on. At least that's kind of what I'm anticipating.
And the other thing, the new Death Star. The first Death Stars were, all right, the weakness is a exhaust port the size of a Womp Rat. And in the second one, it's basically we've got to fly down the shaft to get to the reactor. But in this one, the weak point is something the size of a small city. I mean, it's like this giant facility they're trying to.
Yeah, but they had a shield around it, so at least they thought of something.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, not only, but I mean, the sheer size and the magnitude, like, I mean, it was definitely a formidable opponent. Like,
yeah, and everything didn't work right for them in the movie.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have worked.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's get in probably the most shocking part of the movie, the potential death of Han Solo.
Oh, that.
Yeah. I mean, as we find out that, you know, Kylo Ren, actual Ben Solo. Is supposed to, and Han tries to turn him back to the light side, which I saw that going bad because, like, this is the first movie. Him going good, too early. May see that, like, as Vader did in the third movie, but no, there's no way he's going to become good. But runs a lightsaber through Han and throws him off a bridge.
I don't know. You just watch it in reverse. Like when it comes out on DVD, you know? He uses, you know, the force and brings him up from the pit and, you know, heals the lightsaber wound. And
all right, let's get into crazy theory point now. Is Han really dead?
I don't think so.
I mean, I don't know if they could get Harrison Ford to continue on because, yeah, but he gets run through with the lightsaber, but not through his chest. I mean, he's kind of like...
No, it's a shoulder wound.
You know, from like gut to shoulder, but not like in his chest. And we don't see him hit the ground either.
No.
And to me, I think Chewbacca would have had a much bigger reaction if Han was dead. I don't think Chewie would have made it out there either. I think Chewie would have fought to the death.
Yes.
Chewie, I don't know if he would have left.
No.
Like that.
So, and then later on with the big fight scene between Finn, Rey, and Kylo, Finn gets fucked up pretty good. And when you see, we don't know what Chewie's been doing this whole time, but he shows up in the Falcon to pick them up. And when he gets off the ship, he's carrying someone. You don't see a face. You just see him carrying someone. They're like, oh, we have a heartbeat. And then later on, you see Finn on this table, but it doesn't look like he's hooked up any kind of life support. We've always seen people in back-to-tanks or whatever.
I mean, the thing is, I kind of believe that Finn is dead just because of Rey's comment. Like, the comment
yes,
that
the way
she
says to him is not like, hey, I'm going to go find Luke Skywalker. I'll be back in a minute. It's like, we'll see each other again someday. I mean, that sounds like something you say to someone who has passed.
Yes.
And like I said, when they arrive, Leia doesn't go to console Chewbacca, who has lost his brother, basically. She goes to console Rey. My theory is that we're going to find out later on that Chewie, while they were fighting, Chewie went and found Han, and Han's alive, and Finn's dead. But that's my crazy internet conspiracy theory.
See, I'm willing to say that they're both alive, just because I don't want to see Finn dead.
You just want to play Finn at Dragon Con.
Well, I am playing Finn at Dragon Con, but that's beside the point.
Let's talk about Kylo for a second.
Oh, do we have to?
Well, let's talk about the
can we talk about emo Kylo?
That's a great Twitter page. You go look at emo Kylo Ren. But let's talk about the other crazy theory we've seen floating around is that he's not a Sith. Thoughts?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, you know, he was absolutely conflicted, in meeting his father. I mean, that was, you know, thrown out in the movie, that they were concerned that, you know, meeting his father, that he would be pulled toward the light. You know, because he's having that internal battle. So I don't think he's a Sith because he hasn't fully gone to the point of no return.
There's one thing. He does not act like a trained Force user.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It looks like against somebody that's got a regular person, yes, he is fully Force trained. But against another Force user,
yeah, he gets his ass really kicked by a rookie. Like when he tries to grab the lightsaber from the snow and it goes to Rey instead of him, it's like I said, he doesn't. If he was someone, not entirely convinced when they talk about one of Luke's students turning to the dark side and wiping out the Jedi that they're actually talking about Kylo. I think they could be talking about somebody completely different because he does not act like someone who was fully trained in the Force and then turn. He's like someone who was like a Force-sensitive child who fell to the dark side and has not had any real Force training. I mean, even his lightsaber is like wonky and half-built.
He's like a pissed-off teenage boy.
Yeah, I mean, even his lightsaber is not fully formed. I mean, it's like looks like it's barely functioning. It's not finely attuned like Vader's lightsaber was. It's kind of everything about him is very rough and untrained.
Well, even in the movie, at the very end, Emperor, what is it, Smoke?
Yeah.
Says that he should bring Kylo to him so he can complete his training. So yeah, they pretty much say in the storyline that Kylo Ren is not.
Yeah, at this point, I'm thinking because they show someone who looks like Kylo there fighting the Jedi in that little vision thing, but it's a dude in a mask. That could be the uniform of the Knights of Ren, as they mentioned.
Which is another thing that really wasn't fleshed out in the movie.
And I'm thinking like Snoke might have been the dark Jedi that turned and not Kylo, as we are led to try to believe.
No, I would agree with that. I think Snoke is much more in tune with the dark side than...
Or even if he might not even be a Force user. In some of the new books, they've mentioned this. It was like I can't remember the character's name, but he was like an advisor to the Emperor. And basically there were people that were kind of like Force cultists. They had no power of the Force, but they worshipped the dark side. And like I said, he could be someone like that who's like a worshiper of the dark side, but not a Sith himself, and is kind of half-assed converted Kylo to the dark side, even though he's not an actual Sith Lord.
Showed him what he knew, but really couldn't apply it.
Like, here's all these, like, Sith training manuals. Figure it out on your own.
Here's the book. Read it and then do it. Yeah. I can't show you what to do because I can't do it myself.
All right, as we watch
YouTube videos on how to use the Force.
Wrap this up. Final thoughts on the Force Unleashed. Start with you there, Brad.
My final thoughts is I was pleasantly surprised, and it was everything that I had hoped for. Like, I don't think that, really with the trailer and all the hype, I was so, concerned that, this movie was going to be overhyped and it was going to be a letdown. But that was not the case at all. So I was super excited, still am super excited. There's not very many movies that, I would tell folks to spend the money and go see an IMAX, but this is absolutely one of them, hands down. And, it's one of the few movies that has come out, and I mean, there really hasn't been a movie to come out that I really have been eager to go and pay multiple times to see, but this film is it.
What about you, Noam?
Like Brad, I was happy at the end of the movie. I was pleasantly surprised. I was pretty much a happy camper when the credits ran at the end of the movie. I couldn't have asked for more out of it, I don't think. And I'm waiting for the next episode.
Yeah. My opinion, I was super excited about it. It has its flaws as any movie does. But overall, I really enjoyed it. The only thing is, since there is no more expanded universe, it felt like almost jumping into the middle of the story because, like I said, we got 30-year blank spot that we don't know what's been going on in the universe. And even at nearly 2.5 hours of movie, it almost felt rushed because there's so much backstory that we don't know yet. And I'm hoping they flesh that out more in the next couple movies. Because, like I said, it felt like jumping into the middle of a story instead of the beginning of a story.
And I think, you know, that's almost designed, you know, that way. Yeah. Is, you know, to make room and to leave open ends, you know, not only for the future, but also, too, to, you know, go a little bit deeper into the past as well. So,
and I mean, if you jump back to episode 4, there was a lot of backstory that we didn't know then. Like I said, that, you know, we didn't know where Vader came from or the Empire and stuff, so... I would say it's kind of on par with that. Like I said, we've kind of got, you know, as many questions as we do answers at this point. But overall, I was impressed with the story.
But that keeps the anticipation up. Like, I feel like if they were to told the complete story, then, you know, outside of just the sheer fact of being hardcore Star Wars fans, like, you wouldn't necessarily have the appeal and everything that the film has left room for now.
Well, yeah, and they can't make these movies just for us, the real big fans. They need to make the movie accessible to everybody.
Yeah, because there's...
For the fans like us, there's the comic books. There is the books. There are all these extra pieces that we can fill in the backstory so we can get a better picture of the entire universe.
Yeah. And as
but
Stan
for what
Lee,
it was great.
As Stan Lee has said in comic books, you always have to kind of remember each comic book is somebody's first comic book, and each Star Wars is somebody's first Star Wars.
I mean, and I think that's the thing is, you know, with this film, you know, yeah, we've got 30 years of history, you know, with the Star Wars franchise and stuff. Like, with this... You know, somebody that is not that big into Star Wars, like, they could pick up and have an understanding. And, you know, I very much felt some of the same feelings seeing this film that I felt seeing the original Star Wars films.
All right. And so, of our new generation of characters, favorite characters?
With this one, I'm going to have to go with Rey.
Finn.
Even though he's not that much in it, I think Poe's going to be a badass. I'm looking for, I've always been a fan of the X-Wing pilot. I mean, I love the Rogue Squadron series of books. I always thought Wedge and the pilots were more interesting than some of the Jedi stuff.
Since we kind of went past while we were doing the theories, the old man that was killed at the very beginning of the movie, I really think that's Wedge.
I don't know. I've heard in like the, because I've not seen that new visual dictionary, that he's, there's something there. They're almost kind of like a, that group is like kind of a worshiper of the Force. They don't, they're kind of like a, to them, the Force is kind of like a religion is one of the theories I've heard. But that guy could still be Wedge or some, because we know he's someone from the past, because he was like, this is someone who Leia trusts and Luke trusts enough to leave the clue to find him.
And
they say it's like someone that Leia... And then when he meets Kylo, he's
exactly.
like... He knew him as a kid. He's like...
Yeah, they knew each
like,
other.
Yeah, because Kylo's like, you got old. And he's like, something much worse happened to you. So I think it's going to be revealed that he may be a character from the past that we don't realize at this point. And with that... Follow us on CigarNerdPodcast.com or the ESO Network at ESOPodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CigarNerdPod. Go buy some shirts at Real Men Smoke Cigars. and as Han always told us, women always find out the truth. We're out.
I met him in a swamp down in Dagobah, where it bubbles all the time like a giant carbonated soda. S-O-D-A, soda. I saw the little runt sitting there on a log. I asked him his name, and in a raspy voice he said, Yoda. Y-O-D-A, Yoda. Yo-yo-yo-yo-yo. In the air, just by raising his hand, oh my Yoda, yo yo yo.
Hey, man, it's almost that time.
What time is it?
Beer 30.
The Booze Hounds return.
And welcome back to the podcast. It's time for Beer 30.
Hell yeah.
So what are we drinking this week, Brad?
We are drinking Orpheus Brewing's The Ferryman.
Ooh, spooky.
Yep, so it's time to pay the price and take to be taken to the land of emptiness and silence. So this is a Russian Imperial, very, very dark, as most Imperials are.
Black like my soul.
Yep, you know, notes of chocolate, hazelnut, and vanilla. So right now I'm really enjoying the beer. This is a pretty hearty beer at 10.5%, so...
Yeah, it's definitely a...
It's not going to take many.
Strong one, yeah. And, you know, anyone who knows the reference to the ferryman, you know, in legends of yore, the ferryman was the one who would transport your soul across the river Styx to the land of the dead. And as 2015 kind of dies off, it's kind of a fitting beer to usher the end of the year and start the new.
Absolutely. So we're drinking the 22-ounce bomber. You know, you've got Apollo hops, Belgian Abbey yeast, you know, some roasted barley and honey. And, I mean, this is a very complex beer. And it's...
Definitely notes of nutty chocolate and vanilla.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I like the description. It's like, you'll be transfixed by the blackness of this imperial stout, while the enticing rich aroma of chocolate, hazelnuts, and vanilla... pulls you in, soothing you into stillness.
Yeah, I think one of the things I kind of like about this beer is it's not near as sweet as some of the other stouts. I mean, it's got just a touch more of the hoppy bitterness, but it's not anything like what you would anticipate with an IPA or something of that nature. So I got to say, I'm really enjoying this.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely a... So what do you give this on the untapped
scale? You know, for me, I think I'm at about a... I don't know. I'd say I'm a 4.
Really, I'll go with you there on that one. It's probably a solid 4 for me as well.
Yeah.
Definitely a nice, you know, if we ever get cold weather here in Georgia, nice, strong, cold weather beer.
Yeah, I kind of like the artwork here, too, of the old Reaper with the lanterns and stuff like that, so... I don't know. I think some of the art of Orpheus Brewing is one of the things. I've had several of their beers. Everything I've had from Orpheus has been damn good. So
and don't confuse it with Morpheus. This is not the Matrix.
It's... No. You're not going to have to decide between red pill and blue pill in this one.
Just beer.
Absolutely.
And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.